Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to kind of teach a little thing that the Bible says here in 7 and 8, a little acronym, but it'll teach us some things about prayer and about the consistency or the importunity of prayer. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, here's what Jesus said. He said this: "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And let's pray. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our lesson this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach in Sunday school. And God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. God, help us to learn some things, and learn some things, some principles that will help us, Lord, in our prayer life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, the little acronym we find is, we understand this, but as we study the Bible, there are no accidents in the Bible. We understand that. There are no contradictions. The Scripture is perfect. It was given by God. And when you begin to study stuff out, it's very interesting how God has tied certain things together. And the first word we see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, is the word ask. And of course, we've defined prayer. That's what prayer means. The word pray means to ask, is what it means. It means to ask. You pray to God. You ask God. And within that simple word ask, we find three specific things that God gives us in these two verses. Okay, and I'll go ahead and give you the words. Okay, if you break that word ask down, the first A stands for asking. Okay, then the next S stands for the word seek. And then the last word, K, stands for the word knock. And you see all three of those words in Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 8. Ask, seek, and knock. And we're going to be talking about those this morning. Ask, seek, and knock. And we are going to talk about how they relate to prayer. But we're also going to see where these are also apply to other areas in our Christian life. Okay? And so here we find the success when it comes to, I believe, prayer. Now understand something about success. Okay? Success is the result of developing godly character and then applying that godly character to real life situations. Okay, that's what success is. All right, if you're going to be successful at anything, it's taking the steps of how to be successful and then applying them to what you're trying to be successful in. Now, God's not going to give us commands about prayer. He's not going to tell us to pray unless He's going to give us the way to be successful at prayer. And let me just say this, Christian. I know we've talked a lot about this, and I've said this in many different ways. But every Christian can have a successful prayer life. Okay? And I would encourage you that if you don't have a successful prayer life, make that a goal in your life to have a successful prayer life. Okay, listen. God doesn't just answer the prayers of preachers. Okay? God doesn't just answer the prayers of people that are in full-time Christian work. God wants to answer the prayer of every Christian that prays that has a prayer life. Well, let me say this, and I think maybe you've learned this as we've taught about this the last few weeks. Prayer is hard work. It's work to pray, okay? It's just like anything else in the Christian life. If you're going to be successful at it, you got to put the time in. You got to apply the principles, okay? So you can be successful. Understand this. Character will always outproduce and outlast talent. Character will always outproduce and outlast talent. Character is simply the systematic doing of right. That's what character is. Character just means that, you know what? No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, you're just going to do right. That's what character is. I heard a man say this one time. A reputation is what men think you are. Character is what God knows you are. Character is what you do when no one else is around. When it's just you and God. Okay? And if you have character and you will put it to play in your life, it will always outproduce and outlast talent. Some people have certain talents in certain areas. I mean, certain people just have natural talents. And you know what? Not everybody's blessed with the same amount of talent. But no matter what your talent is, character will always outlast talent. Character is developed through repetition. That's how character is developed. Okay? Anybody can have character. Now, a lot of people don't have it. In fact, we're living in a generation, sad to say, that if we have a deficiency of anything in this generation, it's a deficiency of character. So little people have character nowadays. And that's the difference. I mean, you look back 50, 60, 70 years ago, we pretty much had the same problems we have today. Maybe not on such a heightened scale, but the difference was back then and between now, we had a generation of people who had character. I mean, the average lost person had more character than the average Christian has today. Sad to say. Okay, so character is developed through repetition. Good habits are cemented into our character by doing the same good thing over and over again until it becomes a way of life. I mean, that's just how it becomes good character. I mean, that's why it's important that we train our children and train our young people at a young age how to do certain things. I mean, you know why, and I'm not bragging on myself, I'm bragging on my parents by saying this, but you know why I have zero problems with tithing today? It's because I was taught by a mom and dad from a very young age that anytime I get any type of increase, I always tithe on it. And I was taught that, and it just cemented into my character. I wouldn't even think about not paying my tithe. You know why? Because it's embedded in who I am, embedded in my character. Because I've been tithing ever since I was a kid. And that's been embedded in me. And you could apply that to any area of the Christian life. That's why it's important. And by the way, you say, well, I got a late start in life. I wasn't raised in a Christian family. And I'm not maybe at the same point. Listen, the standard is not each other, okay? You should never compare yourself to each other. Compare yourself to Christ. Let me say this. Now, I mean, there's never too late of a time to start. You may have got a later start, but here's the thing. Start, begin somewhere. Begin the systematic doing of right. And if you'll do that, you'll begin to build your character. Now, why are we talking about this? Because, let me say this, when it comes to prayer, if you're going to develop a good prayer life, character goes hand in hand. Because let me just say this, you will not always feel like praying. Seldom do you feel like praying. By the way, if you look in the Bible, I know we can pray all the time, and we ought to pray all the time, pray without ceasing. But it seems to me in the Bible pattern that I find, that most of the time when Christians have a good prayer life, most of their communication is done with God in the early morning hours. Now, let me just say, your flesh would rather sleep than pray. I'll just tell you that. Okay? But it takes character to do that. So, let's get into these three letters we're going to talk about this morning. A-S-K. Let's talk about the first letter, and that's the word ask. Ask. So, we call this the virtue of a holy curiosity. The virtue of a holy curiosity. Now, everybody, especially kids, right? Especially kids, go through the why phase, right? I mean, everything is why, okay? And, anything you say, why? Well, why do we do that, okay? And the thing is, sometimes we think, well, we ought to train them out of that. Well, let me just say this, not necessarily. As a Christian, you always ought to be in the why phase. By the way, listen, let me tell you what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to just learn to obey, although He does. He wants you to know why you're doing what you're doing. You ought to be able to give an answer, Christian, to, if anybody, the Bible specifically says that, be able to give an answer to any man that asks of you, of the faith that lies within. I mean, if somebody comes to you and wants to know a question about your Christianity, or a question of why do you do this specific thing, you shouldn't just say, well, because the preacher says. That shouldn't be an answer. You ought to have the answer. You ought to know the answer. And as a Christian, y'all always ought to be asking. And when it comes to prayer, listen, you just ask. Pray without ceasing. That's in the linear, it means to continually ask. Always be asking. I mean, Book of James, you have not because you ask not. Always ask. Don't be afraid to ask, okay? God wants us to always ask. By the way, we ought to do that when it comes to our prayer life, but not just when it comes to prayer. We ought to be asking all the time. Remember what Jesus, it was said of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 when he was just a young man? Let me read these verses to you. And when they found him not, this is speaking of Mary and Joseph, and they left Jerusalem and they were traveling back and they couldn't find Jesus. We know the story. And they started looking around and Jesus wasn't there. So they go back and here's what it says of Jesus. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And you know what Christ was doing at a young age? He was asking questions. He was asking things. Okay? So don't be afraid, Christian, to ask questions. Okay? Now be sure you're asking questions because you truly want to know the answer. All right? Because you want to learn. And let me say this. If you're going to ask a question, don't be afraid of the truth. Seldom do people really, can they really handle the truth? Seldom. We say we want the truth, but when we're told the truth, sometimes we don't like the truth. Because let me just say this, folks. If you're told the truth by someone who will tell you the truth, it's not always what you want to hear, it's what we need to hear. Amen? And be thankful if you have people in your life, when you ask, they'll tell you the truth. All right? But don't be afraid to ask questions. Okay? In fact, you know what you find out a lot of times when you study the life of Christ? A lot of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all those scribes, they were always asking Christ questions, but it wasn't because they were wanting an answer to the truth. It was because they were trying to trap him into saying something, and they were trying to accuse him. Matthew 22, verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying. Okay, so not every time somebody asks something, it's for the right purpose. So make sure you're asking for the right reason. Asking. We always want to ask to learn, okay? And by the way, if you have an asking spirit as far as being able to ask questions, then you know what? You're going to translate that into your prayer life and not be afraid to ask God. A wise man once said this, every man knows something I do not know. Therefore, every man is my teacher. And that's a great quote there. Every man knows something I do not know. Therefore, every man is my teacher. And you know, there's a lot of people in life we can learn from if we'll just not be afraid to ask. Okay? And by the way, let me just tell you a phrase that shouldn't be in your vocabulary. When I was teaching at the school, I always had different phrases that I always said. And here was one of the ones I always said is this. Can't is a cuss word. I hate the word can't. Okay? I hate it. Don't say can't. Okay? Yes, you can. You know why you can? Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, you may not have the knowledge to do it, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. You can ask someone and you can learn how to do something. Don't be afraid to ask, okay? And if you will have an asking spirit on things you don't learn, then you can translate that into your prayer life. All right? James chapter 1. Verse 5, it says this, if any of you lack wisdom, okay, by the way, that's me, okay, I don't have all the wisdom that I need. Now, I pray that I do have some wisdom, and I'm trying to gain wisdom, but I don't have all the wisdom in every area I need, okay? So, if any of you lack wisdom, what do you do? Here's what he says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let me ask you something, Christian. Do you have a hunger for godly knowledge? I mean, when's the last time you ask your preacher a question? Preacher, I got a question about this. And just ask him something. I mean, listen, we always ought to be asking. We ought to be asking God in prayer. We ought to be asking others so that we can learn. And we ought to be asking God for wisdom. All right? So, A-S-K, ask. Ask. All right, let's look at the next thing we're going to be looking at here, and that is the letter S, which stands for the word seek. Seek. And here's what we do. The virtue of a holy attitude. Okay? The virtue of a holy attitude. Mark chapter 7. Let's turn over there real quick. All right, Mark chapter 7. Let's flip over there. By the way, these are principles that are key to a successful prayer life. Ask, and then the next word is seek. Mark chapter 7. Now, this is interesting here, what we find. Because we find some people seeking some things. And you know what the interesting thing is? They found what they were looking for. Look what it says. Then came together to him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw him, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with them washing hands. Here it is. You ready? They found fault. They found fault. Hey, they come seeking some things. By the way, you know what? They found what they sought for. You know what they were seeking for? They were seeking for fault, and because they were seeking for it, they found it. So you know what? The question that we need to ask ourselves is this. What are we seeking for? What are we seeking for? I mean, hey, Christ had the answers they needed. Christ had the answers for salvation, but yet that wasn't what they were seeking for. They were seeking for something to which to criticize Christ about. And they found exactly what they were seeking for. And because they were seeking to find fault, they were destined to find that. Now, as Christians, we've got to seek the right type of things, okay? By the way, we translate this to our prayer life. Seek the right types of things, okay? Bible tells us in the book of James, faith without works is what? It's dead. Faith without works is dead. You can say you have faith all you want, but if you're not working and your works don't back up the fact that you have faith, then you know what? That kind of faith is dead. I mean, I could say all I want that I had faith that God was going to give us a piece of property down there. But if I never went down there and I never tried to talk to people, I never got the maps out and checked out who owned what property and found the property owners and started seeking the property owners, I would never have even an opportunity to get a piece of property. Now, I could sit here and pray I want it. But if I didn't do some seeking, guess what? I'm probably not going to get the answer. Okay? So we ask and we seek. Now, when it comes to prayer, do we need to seek the things in our prayer life? Absolutely right. We need to seek God over some things. Ask and then seek. Do what we can do. I like to say it like this. All right, here's a good formula that I heard, and I think probably Pastor Ross taught me this. He said this: we ought to work like everything depends upon us and pray like everything depends upon God. That's a good formula. Okay, because too many Christians, well, I'm praying. Okay, we ought to pray, right? Aren't we talking about prayer? Absolutely. Never underestimate the power of prayer. We got to have prayer. But let me ask you this. What are you doing to see your prayers get answered? What is on your part that you could be doing that you're not doing? Yes, sir. Now, there are certain things that, you know what, we can't do. Okay, I can't work on anybody's heart. I can't do that. That's God's job, okay? But I can do my part. I mean, hey, we can pray all we want. Lord, let us see souls saved. Lord, we're seeking for souls. But are we out there knocking doors? Are we out there handing out tracts? I mean, here's the thing, Christian. Yes, God does want us to pray about everything. But then you know what he wants us to do? Get our shoes on and get out there and do something. Amen? And that's what we got to do. We got to seek. We got to seek. Now, should we seek in our prayer? Absolutely. But the Bible, there's also other things that we ought to seek. Just like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees were seeking fault in Christ, as Christians, we need to have the proper attitude when it comes to seeking. We ought to seek the good in people. Seek the good in people. I mean, listen, the very people that, you know what, you can't look out without trying to find some fault, you realize they have good things about them also? So why is it that we always want to look at a person and instead of highlighting their positive qualities, we always want to highlight their negative qualities? You know why? Because we're a bunch of stinking wicked sinners, that's why. And our flesh thrives on that. Our flesh would rather gossip and criticize someone than to praise them and lift them up. That's what our flesh would rather do. So let me say, listen, every single person in here this morning, you have good qualities about you. Yes, we all do. I mean, yes, we do. I mean, you're in church this morning. Okay, that's a positive quality. We all have good things about us, okay? So listen, Christian, seek the good in people. Seek the good in people. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes if there's things that have to be dealt with that they're not dealt with. Okay, we're not talking about overlooking sin. Okay, we're not talking about taking care of problems that need to be dealt with. But even in the midst of that, you can seek the good in people. Let me tell you something else Pastor Ross taught me. Have you noticed I say that a lot? I was visiting Sister Maxine yesterday and had a great visit with her. And she told me, she's like, every time you teach and preach, you remind me so much of Pastor Bob. That's what she told me. And I said, well, you know, that's a compliment to him and all that he put in me. But here's something else he taught me. He taught me something called the sandwich method. All right? Now, it's probably not what you're thinking. All right? He said this. All right? When you got to deal with the negative, okay, here's what you do. You always start with the positive. Then you deal with the negative, then you end with the positive. And listen, that's a good philosophy when dealing with people. That's a great philosophy when dealing with your children, okay? You praise, you deal with the negative, and then you end with something good. Keep that attitude when it comes to your working with people, okay? Seek the good in people. Number two, seek the good in every situation. Dr. Curtis Hudson, he always said this, those who wish to sing always find a song. Seek the good in every situation. You know what a critic will do? A critic will come to church and leave with things to criticize. Not because the church is bad, because you know what? He found what he sought. Another will attend the same church service and look for a blessing. And you know what? He's going to find one. You know why? Because that is what he sought. So listen, Christian, make the best of every situation. You know what? You can choose to find something to be happy about just as easily as you can find something to gripe about. Determine to be the person who finds something good in every situation. You know, one of the most the pressing things, or the most things that really spoke to my heart when Dr. Harding was here, when he was here last month, and he taught us about the America and the constitutional awareness and all that. One of the most pressing things that the Lord taught me that week was this. When he said that as Americans, we only make up 4.5% of the world's population, that blew me away. I always knew the population of America was somewhere around 320 million. Okay? I never compared it to the fact that the population of the rest of the world. You think about that. 4.5% of the population, we as Americans are the most blessed people on earth. Here's the thought God gave me. Okay, here it was. No matter your worst day on earth, no matter what it is, you know what? You're still an American. Your worst day, no matter what happens to you, you're still an American. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That really spoke to my heart. And listen, Christian, find the pop. Seek the good in every situation, no matter what you're going through. You know what? Because you are going to go through bad situations. It's called life. It's part of the sin curse, okay? It's just part of it. So as you're going through life, though, find the good in every situation you're in. You can find it. I promise you that's true. Here's an illustration that our pastor gives sometimes, all right? The story is told of an old man sitting in front of a gas station with his grandson. A man comes pulling up with a moving trailer, and he stops for fuel. He says this, "Hey, old man, I'm moving to this town, and I hear it isn't the greatest place to live. There's nothing to do. The school system is lacking. The people are backwards, and the opportunity's limited. Is that true?" The old man replied, "That's what you're going to find." And the man said, "I thought so." And he gets back, and he gets back in his vehicle and pulls away. Another man pulled in, same situation, trailer in tow, obviously also moving to the town. "Hey, sir," he said, "I'm moving into your town, and I hear it's a great place to live and to rear my family, that there's good opportunities, the schools and parks are wonderful, and the people are warm and friendly. Is that true?" The old man replied, "That's exactly what you're going to find." And you know what? The principle there is this. You know what? You're going to find whatever you're seeking for. So let me say this, Christian. When it comes to your prayer life, seek the right kind of things. Okay, I've taught you the last couple weeks, okay, about the fact that we got to pray according to the will of God. We got to pray according to, as the book of James says, not praying amiss to consume it upon your own lust. Okay, so seek the right types of things in your prayer life. Okay, I mean, if you think you're going to pray for $1 million so you can go out and buy, you know, a brand new house and a brand new truck just to have one, well, you're probably not going to get that prayer answered because it's to consume it upon your lust. You're not seeking after the right things. But if you're seeking after the right things, if you're seeking for something that you need to help you do the work of God or a need in your life, and you pray and bring it to God, you know what? You're going to find that. Okay? So ask, seek, all right? And then one more thing the Bible specifically says to seek after, and that is this, to seek the good in people, seek the good in every situation. And then this goes hand in hand with what we've been teaching about Proverbs, but we're to seek wisdom. We're to seek wisdom. Hey, do you realize this, Christian? All right, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the supposed scholars of the day try to say. All these intellectuals out there. God's word has the answers for any question that we have. Amen. God's word has the answers. Any problem you're facing, the Bible has the answer for. Now, don't expect every minute answer that you need to just be laying out there and get it from a casual reading. You know what? It takes study sometimes. It takes what we've been teaching through the book of Proverbs. It takes wisdom. It takes wisdom. Okay? And you got to seek the scripture sometimes to find that wisdom. But God promised that if you search for it, if you look for it like you would a hidden treasure, you're going to find it. Okay? So ask and seek. And then let's talk about the K word here. That is the word knock. Ask, seek, knock. And that's the virtue of a holy persistence. A holy persistence. All right? We all understand what it means to knock at a door. Okay? You're at someone's door and you're not. Well, what are you doing when you're knocking? You're trying to get someone's attention, right? I mean, you're knocking on the door so someone will come and they will come and help you or answer the door or whatever. You're knocking. Okay? And you know what I find out is this. Too many Christians are stopped in their tracks at the first obstacle that they encounter. Anytime they reach, and here's the catchphrase a lot of us use. Here it is. You ready? Well, God just closed the door. We've heard that, haven't we? How many of us have said that? Now, I'm not saying God doesn't close the door. He does do that at times, okay? I've said that, all right? And I believe I've witnessed that. As we've been pursuing these properties for the church plant, the first several we pursued, you know what? I do really believe God did close the door on those. I believe that. But here's the problem, okay? We reach an obstacle. Well, instead of saying God closed the door, here's another thing we ought to say. Well, you know what? Did we spend time knocking on it? Did we spend time knocking on that door that we thank God closed? In fact, let me give you an illustration about this particular property we're looking at. All right, the first time that I found this piece of property was back in May. And my wife and I, we drove down to Evansville and we talked to the property owner. And here's what he told me. He says, well, he says, I wish you would have came and found me about 2 months ago. He says, I've already committed to sell this to somebody else and I would really like a church to have it, but I've already committed to sell to somebody else. All right, I could have said, God slammed that door on that one. Closed the door. All right, at first that's what I thought. But then as I began to drive down there some more and look at some other properties, and I kept coming back to that one. I kept looking at it. I kept thinking about it and saying, Lord, this really would be the perfect piece. I really think this is what you're going to have. So you know what we did? I got on the phone. I started knocking. And I called him up. And I said, hey, I know I talked to you back in May about this piece of property. Have you sold it yet? He's like, well, I haven't sold it yet. And leading into the situation we're in now, it's in the court system. We're trying to get it cleared off so we can sell it. And I said, could we maybe negotiate and see if we could maybe purchase it for you for our church plan? He's like, well, as soon as we get it cleared out of court, we'll talk with you about that. So you know what we're doing? We're knocking. You know what I've been doing the last couple weeks? I've been trying not to bug him, but you know what I've been doing? I've been calling. I've been knocking. Okay, because you know what I believe? I believe sometimes God wants to see how much we really want something. How much we're willing to pay a price to get it. And you know what? It does cost sometimes. Okay? I mean, the Christian life, if you think you're just going to have this casual Christian walk, the first time you ask God for something, he's going to give it to you, you don't necessarily know a whole lot about prayer. Because let me tell you something. Here's another word, importunity. Importunity. If we had time, we'd go back to the book of Matthew or there in the Gospels and we'd read about the parable. Remember the story of where the lady, she needed something and she come and she knocked on the door and the guy's like, leave me alone. I'm asleep in bed. All my family's asleep. Leave me alone. But you know what? She didn't leave him alone. She kept knocking him. And finally he got up and he's like, what do you want? He's like, I'm going to give it to you, not because I want to give it to you, because you won't leave me alone. I love that parable. You know what God wants to do sometimes? Don't leave him alone. Hey, Paul didn't do that. Remember what Paul did when he had that thorn in the flesh? He kept going to God for it, going to God for it. Finally, God gave him the answer. Paul, listen, I'm not going to take it away from you. All right? You're going to have to learn to live with it. Learn to experience my grace. God answered that prayer. Now, he didn't answer it the way Paul thought, but he answered it. Finally, God said, Paul, quit asking me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep asking until God said, either gives it to me or says, quit asking me for this. All right? And that's what we got to do, Christian. Have that attitude when it comes to your prayer life. Knock. Don't spend your life making excuses. Spend your life making a difference. Let me say that again. Don't spend your life making excuses. Spend your life making a difference. All right? And so how important that is. Listen, don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. We're going to talk about that some this morning in the message, but don't be a quitter. Take your Bibles. We're already in the book of Mark. Flip over to chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We'll kind of end here with this little bit of a parable. Or not a parable, but a story. It's not a parable. It's an actual story that happened. I love this. This is such an attitude we ought to have. We ought to apply this to many areas of our Christian life. We ought to apply it, yes, to our prayer life, absolutely, but to other areas. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Notice what he says here. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. I like that. It was noised that he was in the house. Hey, you know what? A commotion was made because Jesus was there. Amen. Let me just say this, Christian. There ought to be a commotion made because Jesus Christ resides in us. Amen? And it was noise that he was in the house. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Amen? Verse 3, and they came and there come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hey, you know what we find out here? We find four men. You know what they ran into? They ran into a closed door. Hey, we're coming to see Jesus. By the way, that's a good place to want to go, right? See Jesus? Hey, they need a miracle to happen. And then they come to see Christ. Hey, that's what we ought to do. When you need a miracle, let me tell you who you turn to. First of all, you turn to God. You turn to Christ. All right? And then that's what we're doing with our church plant. We're turning to Christ. Lord, we need you to do this miracle for us. So we're there. But you know what? They didn't just walk up and get to Jesus, did they? You know why? There was an obstacle there. There were other people there stopping them. You know what? If those would have been some of the Christians of today, they would have looked at their friend and said, well, too bad. Sorry. We tried, but we just couldn't get to Jesus. We tried for you, though. But you know what? Aren't you glad that's not what his friends did? Aren't you glad he had some better friends than that? All right, by the way, that ought to speak to our hearts. We ought to be better friends than just that. Okay? So what did they do? Well, they ran into a closed door. They ran into an obstacle. But you know what? They didn't go home and quit. They didn't make excuses. You know what they did? They climbed on the roof and they tore a hole in the roof. And they sought and they knocked until they got exactly what they come to God for. And how many times as Christians are we so close maybe? We keep persisting and then we get discouraged and we want to give up. And we're so close when we were just minutes away or hours away from the answer that we were seeking for. So Christian, listen, keep knocking. Keep knocking. You will never accomplish much in life if you don't develop a holy tenacity. I like to call it this, a warrior's mentality. You got to have a warrior's mentality when it comes to living a Christian life. Let me say this. Being a good Christian isn't for wimps. If you're going to be a good Christian, then you know what? You got to have some backbone about you. You got to be able to stand a little bit. You got to be able to keep on going, keep persistent, and not being a quitter. You can't look at every problem and get discouraged by it. You got to keep going forward. You got to keep blazing a holy trail. Amen? Amen? By the way, that's what Jesus told us to do, right? Remember Brother Harding alluded to that? Occupy till I come. You know what that word occupy? That's an action verb. That means to keep going forward. That means to keep taking ground. That means to keep making advancements. And let me tell you what we got to do as Christians. We need to keep advancing. Keep going forward. Too many of us want to give up and quit when things get hard or maybe when we think the Lord's closing the door. All right, maybe God's saying to us, you know what? Yeah, there's an obstacle. Yeah, there is a door closed. Keep knocking on it. How raw are your knuckles? How raw are they? Okay, keep knocking on that door. All right. Hey, here's a question. Are you going to spend your life wishing for a miracle or working for a miracle? Are you going to spend your life wishing for a miracle or working for a miracle? Faith is just not waiting. Faith is knocking. Faith is knocking. I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. There's one more piece of property down there that I don't feel like it's ideal, but it would work. So you know what I'm going to do while I'm waiting for God to answer the prayer and give us this other property? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down there and seek another piece of property. You know why I'm going to do that? Because I want God to know, hey, Lord, you know what? Yep, I'm waiting on you. I'm trying to be patient, but I'm going to keep on knocking, God, because I want that prayer answered. I'm going to keep doing that, okay? And listen, Christians, that's what we have to do. Keep knocking. Don't be discouraged. Listen, the will of God is not always easy. You will run into obstacles on the path of doing right. And sometimes in your path, God will on purpose close the door. And you know what he wants you to do when that door closes? He doesn't want you to turn away, tuck your tail between your legs and quit. That's not what he wants you to do. He wants you to keep on knocking. Keep on beating. Hey, beat the door down, amen? Until God finally opens it or he says, okay, stop, okay? I'm going to do something else. That's not my will. Keep on knocking. So you can spend your life making excuses for failure or you can overcome obstacles and succeed. So you got to choose how you're going to live this Christian life. All right, you got to choose how you're going to live it. All right, so you know what I want to spend my Christian life doing? Asking, seeking, and knocking. And then watch God perform the miraculous. Okay, by the way, it's not that God can't answer prayer. Okay, understand that. You understand that, right? It's not that God's hand is shortened that it cannot save. God is well capable of answering anything we could even dream of asking him for. Okay, so if we're not getting a prayer answered, it's not God's fault. You know whose fault it is? It's ours. Okay? It's a lack of our prayer life. It's a lack of, you know what, maybe I'm not doing what I ought to do. Okay? So examine your prayer life, what the Scripture says, okay? And apply the character that it takes to have a good prayer life. And then I promise you this, God will answer your prayer. Hey, I had an answer to prayer this week. I did. A specific thing I was praying about, God answered that prayer for me. Okay? And so listen, remember how I said before, specific prayers get specific answers. Don't be general when it comes to your prayer life with God. All right? Seek Him in a specific way. All right? By the way, prayer is more than just, and we don't have time to teach this, but I'll just kind of, in closing, mention this. All right? Prayer is more than just a public prayer life. As Christians, probably the important, the most important prayer life we have is a private, here's the Bible word, closet prayer life. Okay? You need to have a secret private time that you have with God every day, that you're asking Him for some things. By the way, I think it's important that we have public prayer requests. There is an important Bible principle about united prayer. One request, one place, and one accord. All right? And God moves upon that. But let me just say this. Not every prayer request is a public a prayer request. There ought to be a lot of private things you're praying about. Let me tell you why. First of all, not everything everybody does need to know about. Not everybody needs to know about everything. I mean, there's certain private things you're praying about you don't want everybody to know about. Okay? And let me tell you, another reason you need to have a private prayer life is because when you have a private prayer life, only you and God knows about it. When God answers that prayer, you know what you know? God answered that prayer because of me. Because I've been praying for it. And because God wants to answer my prayer individually. If you have a public prayer request and you got everybody praying about it, you don't know whether it was your prayer that God answered or the preacher's prayer or all the other church members' prayer. You don't know who specifically God answered the prayer. Now, you are thankful that God answered, but private prayer allows you to know that when you're praying, God specifically hears and answers your own prayers. And let me tell you something, God will do that. Yes, He will. He'll honor Himself through that because He has promised us that He would if we'll do it the way we're supposed to do it. Amen? So I pray this was an encouragement to you, this thing about prayer. I want to encourage you, Christian, pray. Have this relationship with God. You say, you know what? I'm new to this whole thing, all right? I haven't been saved that long, or maybe I've just not had a desire I have been disobedient in my prayer life. Listen, now's a great time to start. If you haven't, start now. Amen? And watch God bless you through prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for these few weeks where we've been able to learn about prayer and what it means and what our responsibilities are, what your responsibilities are, Lord. And then, God, to see you answer those things. Thank you for that. God, thank you for answering my prayer this week. And I pray that you continue, Lord, to answer our prayers. God, we got a lot of things we're talking to you about, a lot of things we're dependent upon you for. And God, we're asking you to come through for us on these things. And God, until you answer, Lord, we're going to keep seeking, we're going to keep knocking, we're going to keep asking. And Lord, we know that you're faithful, God. So thank you for it. Bless our service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.